On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives these days. And as I say every week, it seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time marches forward. And we've got an in-studio guest this evening. We have Ron O'Reilly from Stories Worth Repeating. Hello, Ron. How are you this evening?
Hi, Rich.
With Ron, we're going to be discussing a couple of projects he's been working on and the technology used in those projects. One of them is called Living Legacy Project, and you can look on for further information on that at legacystories.org. And the other is Baby Makes 3. Does that one have a website?
It does, babymakes3.com.
Is it the word 3 or the number 3?
The letter, yeah, the number 3.
Okay.
Okay.
And you can also check out Ron's website at Stories Worth Repeating, but it's stories-worth-repeating.com. Okay, so let's start off by talking about legacy stories first. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah. Well, it's a project, and it has a big goal, which is to get something of everybody's legacy in the country, everybody. And a lot of times when people think of legacies, they think it has to be a big project or it has to be a book or something really a big deal, and sometimes they get even scared about that because it takes time and thought. This project is really very, very user-friendly. The way it works for this one is someone like me or a lot of other people who are doing this sit down and they ask people to pick 5 photographs from their life that mean something to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the photographs on a CD so we can see them. And then we interview people telling us about those photographs. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us do something a little bit extra besides that. We will ask them to also give us one keepsake object. For instance, one woman gave her father's pipe because she could still remember what her father was like and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We put all that in a CD, and the technology side of it is pretty interesting. The interviewing happens maybe on a digital recorder, or it could be uploaded directly to the project website on the cloud, and the same thing with the video portion. And then the other thing that we can do is use portable scanners. Nowadays, they have very nice portable scanners that aren't very much larger than a paperback book. And so we can get all that stuff kept and instantly put out. And it's then kept in the Legacy Project archives, as well as the families having a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And people can talk about it and pass it down. And it's, as I say, it's really a low energy. It's just people talking. They don't have to think ahead of time too much.
Mm-hmm.
They pick the pictures and tell us why they like those pictures.
Wow. And your goal, you said the goal of the project is to get everyone in the world out.
That is the goal,
there.
Right? Yeah. Everybody. Everybody.
Pretty ambitious goal.
Well, there are other projects like that. The Veterans History Project has its goal to mm-hmm. get all the fellows, some World War I, II, Korean, all those folks, to tell their stories. And the Smithsonian keeps those archives. And not only the guys, but they also go after the stories of Tilly the Toiler, the women that worked in the defense plants and all that. But this is for anybody who just has some favorite things they'd like to remember, and it gives the folks the feeling that they've passed something on from the life they've earned to the people that are coming without having to go through a big deal.
Mm. Wow. I'm just trying to take in the goal of the project. That's amazing.
It is large.
So when you scan the photos, do you ever have the situation where you then need to crop it and
yes.
resize
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Use some kind of software for that?
Yes. The scanner I use has its own software, or you use Photoshop
mm-hmm.
or something like that and, you know, cut it down so that it fits on a CD. And yet what you want is to be able to see the image while hearing the people talk about it
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
Or the object. And that's a fun thing to do because mm-hmm. a lot of times people have only slightly thought about the things in their life that they want to pass on
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just disappear. And so that gets them going.
Wow. Very cool. How about the conversation? Does it sometimes run on that you need to edit it, or do you always need to edit it sometimes?
Okay, the ideal is in this project, the Living Legacy Project, it's about a 90-minute conversation.
Oh, wow.
So it's to keep that, you know, manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my regular work, when I'm interviewing people, I might interview folks, and they might... Usually what we say in the industry is if you ask someone to tell all the stories in their life that they want to tell, mm-hmm. it'll take them between 8 and 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't that. This is just tell us a story about these 5 photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, sometimes people repeat or they get excited and something else happens and they remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might edit it down because we do want it to fit on basically on one DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What software do you use for editing it?
I run a Macintosh,
mm-hmm.
so I use a simple one called WavePad.
Mm-hmm.
There are much more sophisticated ones, but I find this is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sample of one that I brought with me.
Sure, let me pop that on here.
Okay.
I think we can play it. Give a listen here.
This is a woman talking about how she met her husband. Her husband was unique in that he was the only boy in a high school graduation class of something like 19 girls, which is a family joke. But they were friends, and then I ask her, how comes they got married? And this is what she said.
Okay.
How did you meet them?
I met him. My girlfriend, Julia, was going with her boyfriend, Tony, and she said, Edie, would you like to go out with Bill someday? And I said, no, I said, I don't want to go out with Bill someday. And she said, oh, come on. She said, I'm so sick of him coming with Tony. I don't know, David. And I said, oh, okay. You know, so that's how we got together. It was my friend Julia who had an extra piece of luggage.
Wow, very neat.
Now, they were married for something like 47 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, the legacystories.org, it is, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is this something that people pay for to get included in? Or is this?
Yes, they do. To do about a 90-minute interview covering 5 photographs, and in my case, one keepsake object is $100,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot less than what people would pay to have a historian like me do the work
mm-hmm.
otherwise.
Yeah. I would think so. I would think that you'd want to make sure you have backups of all these things. What kind of process do you have in place for making sure you've got good backups? I imagine that some of the data can start to add up pretty quickly here.
It does. It does add up. There are a number of things. One is... I did by benefit of your advice and counsel, so now I have external hard drives. And there is a new media for CDs out, which promises and has been tested to last for at least 500 years. It doesn't deteriorate.
500 years, wow.
500 years. It's basically etched on stone. And it can play on any CD. You have to have a special burner for it. But that's, because CDs don't really last much more than 3 years to be reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have a number of backups between the cloud and the families get a couple copies, and then this new version
wow.
will last a while. And USB drives.
So I keep hearing that CDs and DVDs are going to be phased out. I guess that sounds like it may not be the case, or do you think that still may happen and that, you know, the USB flash drives and those sorts of things will take over?
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And for that matter, even cloud to some degree will take over. I don't know that the CDs and DVDs will phase out entirely, but after a while, as technology improves, people aren't going to make them so
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
because it gets simpler. Every time I buy a piece of equipment, you know, 3 days later, the new piece comes out that's bigger, faster, and cheaper. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens.
And if somebody wanted to just kind of check what was out there, they can go to legacystories.org and listen and look at what's there now.
Yes, they can.
Are they broken down into any way that people can search on different things? Is it by name?
Eventually they will be. Mm-hmm. The project is, it's only been running approximately 2 years, so it's still tooling up, mm-hmm. and lots of stuff is coming in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are themes and families. I mean, whole families can have a family history on their website. So you could look up the Smith family from anywhere in the world. Usually it's done face-to-face, but it doesn't have to be. It could be a telephone interview over some period of time, as long as the interview is looking at the same pictures, you know, because at the production end, it's all done post-production. So then you can make the CDs, you know, My Studio or whatever.
What's the final format of the audio files?
I make them in WAVE files so that anybody can play them on any machine. Mm-hmm. That's basically because it's more universal.
Yeah.
But, of course, the MP3s are a lot shorter and don't take up as much space, and you can email them quicker and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't noticed at this quality there's a difference between an MP and a WAVE file as far as for music. I think there would be, but for speaking, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it works very nicely. It's very simple.
And how about the photos? Are they JPEGs generally?
Or? Usually JPEGs. Yeah.
Is there some type of or where you can categorize this the favorite type of pictures that people come with, family photos and accomplishments, all kinds of things?
No, I can't, because what's important, and it's a big challenge to pick five photographs, you know, because, I mean, I had one client who gave me four photographs of a wedding. And, you know, what I had to say is, you know, you have to have something different.
Yeah.
You know, but lots of stuff comes in.
Might have been a very memorable wedding, but still.
Well, yeah, but special things come in and
okay. Well, before we turn our attention to Baby Makes Three, let me just ask if there's any other things you want to add about Legacy Stories, any other technical challenges, anything... And last words regarding that project.
They've really, the organization has really worked very hard to make it simple, easily accessible, very user-friendly, not demanding of time, and the technology of it is seamless and very easy to use. It doesn't require a lot of sophistication. Unlike maybe making audio recordings of a set of interviews, which, you know, this post-production stuff. This is pretty quick, pretty nice.
Good.
And people really have a sense of they see themselves, they see part of their lives, and they have the sense that it's being handed over physically and otherwise, which is very nice.
Excellent. Good. Okay, how about Baby Makes Three? Let's hear what that's all about.
Well, in Baby Makes Three, on the way over, I was listening to... the hospice chaplain and her radio show, and talking about people at the end of their life wanting to say things and one of the things they want to do is say stuff that's very important to them as they close out their life. And my word for that is people own their lives. They own it. It just didn't happen and go past. They grab hold of it. And there's a lot of research that suggests that as we get older, certainly after 60 or so, we don't worry so much about what's going to happen to us after death. We worry about what's going to happen to our families. That we worry about. But what we do wonder about is, did we live a meaningful life?
Mm-hmm.
Baby Makes Three starts at the other end of it when it's starting out. Because what I do is couples who are expecting their very first child, while they're still pregnant, still expecting, I interview them and I ask them, how did they get to that point? Mm-hmm. How did they get to be a couple? What are they hoping for? What are they expecting? What kind of parenting did they have? What did their parents do that they appreciated? What did their parents do that they say, I'm not going to do that because we know they will? when the baby comes, I help them get recordings of the baby's first sounds as it enters the world. It's like interviewing the baby, and the baby is saying, hello, here I am, take mm-hmm. care of me. Mm-hmm. And then about a month later, I come back to the parents, and I interview them again, and I'm asking them, how did your life change? What are the changes that are happening? And the two reasons for this are, one, for the parents, that becomes a piece of their history that they're going to forget about because so much happens, and we forget the wonder and the power of these moments. So they can go back to it years later when they're older and they remember what it was like to change into parents from just being persons. And the baby also, you know, I brought a sound clip, and if we have just a second,
sure.
See what happens when people listen to a baby.
Let's start that one.
So what we can hear is two kinds of baby sounds. One is definitely a baby who needs something,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is a baby who's happy. Mm. Here's my theory, that you can't hear the sound of a baby without inside yourself going, oh, you want to pick up that kid and comfort him and just have delight in him.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is, if when you hear a baby, all of a sudden you realize it was you. That's you as you started life. That whole business of hugging yourself, embracing yourself, saying hello before all the other judgments that happen in life. Mm-hmm. That's me entering the world. That experience, like a kid about it, is worth $7,000 worth of therapy. Mm-hmm. And the kiddo has the wonder of his own life, and he gets to hear his parents talk about they really want him, because sometimes we wonder later on, you know, and they get to hear what was like. So when that kiddo starts to be thinking about being a parent, he has an example of people who become parents to go back to and think about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that becomes data for the whole rest of his life.
Wow. And, you know. Are there special technology challenges with this?
The biggest technology, actually, it's not very hard. I emphasize audio because I'm an audio person.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think that audio is a much more direct line to our brain than is visual. We have incidents where when people sing songs or tell stories to babies when they're still inside the mama, the babies respond to those sounds mm-hmm. when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very close. So I'm into audio, but these days people also want video,
mm-hmm.
so we do both.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest challenge is I really encourage folks to get the baby sounds as soon as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And that means if they can get them in the birth room,
mm-hmm.
great. Sometimes that doesn't work out so good.
Yeah.
So I tell the families they have to pick someone reliable who doesn't get all shook up to make the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they make them when the baby comes home.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's an adopted child, when that child comes in. But it's the greeting of the nest.
And is the idea of the website that these recordings and videos are always available for them and others?
They're available for them.
Mm-hmm.
people like who do the work I do, personal historians, we usually try to encourage people to share their stories. Mm-hmm. In this case, I don't. I really encourage people to keep them private, mm-hmm. inside the nest, mm-hmm. because this is a communication between parents as people talking to each other. They know the kiddo is going to hear that, mm-hmm. But it should be intimate, mm-hmm. private. Yeah. And that way parents don't have to worry about what their parents are going to think.
Yeah.
It's just between themselves and their kid.
Yep. Yep. Interesting.
And that's what I encourage in this case.
Yep. Great.
But they are archived.
Ron, thank you very much for sharing information about Legacy Stories and Baby Makes 3. For our listeners, if you want to learn more, feel free to email Ron at ron@stories-worth-repeating.com. Should I give you a phone number?
Sure.
It's 908-237-9205. Again, it's Ron O'Reilly. Any last thoughts, Ron?
Nope. Thank you for the opportunity.
Ron, thanks for being here. And to our listeners, this has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Kasmer.